Pastor Matt, it is a blessing to be here again tonight. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here. We're going to be back in the book of Exodus again tonight, and we're going to be in chapter number 3 and 4 for a little bit. And I do appreciate your church. Looking forward to being back for Vacation Bible School and blink and be here. And so pray that we'll have a safe journey. We'll be in a church this following week, just like this, Sunday through Wednesday with that church, and we'll be doing a kind of a revival like we've been doing here, preaching to them. It's a fairly new church, 4 years old, and they have a great stress because they've been told they have to vacate their building, and as of right now, they still don't have a building, and I think their last day is the last of this month, and so, but they're still going ahead with their revival meeting, asking God just to take care of things, and then we'll go up into Canada, and I'll preach for my brother on a Thursday night for his church service, and then we'll do a weekend for a church where we go out in the park, and they grill and people come. We'll play games with the kids and I'll set up a tent and I'll do object lessons and we'll witness to people. It's been very profitable the last several years doing that with them, and then we'll have a couple of day revival there with them, and then we'll go to a pastor's conference and I'll preach there and do some kids things for the children of the pastors, and then one more revival meeting, and then we'll drive all the way back down here. And so we'll be busy, but God is very good with all that, and we sure appreciate your church helping us get to those places and the ministry that we do, and we're praying for a good time when we come back in Bible school. We've been looking here in the scriptures as we have talked about some elements of revival. Now, this message tonight is probably, I would say, more practical. It's more of a challenge about some steps, because I believe that God talks to us, and God says, this is what you need to do. And the problem is when God talks to us, if you're like me, sometimes you say, was that really God? And because if it wasn't God, then I don't have to do it, amen? It's kind of like our kids, when you call them and they're like, was that really Dad, you know? If it wasn't Dad, I don't have to move, right? And but once we know it's God, then we start having excuses, right? Well, God, did you ever think about this? But what about this? And of course, we're going to look at the life of Moses tonight, and how God called him, and look at some of the fears that Moses faced, and I think some things that would challenge us to realize we can trust God and do it. That song we sang just a little while ago, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. He truly is. So let's pray, and then we'll look at these scriptures here this evening. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray you'd bless us tonight, and Lord, what a blessing it is, Lord, even just to look at the kids around here tonight that are learning the scriptures, and God, I'm so thankful for this church and, Lord, the effort that they put into their community. Father, for the boldness for the gospel, yet the compassion for people. And God, I pray you would bless them. Lord, I pray you would strengthen them. Lord, I pray as they look into the future and try to design ways to reach people that you'd give them insight. Father, you'd give burdens in our hearts. And then, Father, you would give the faith to step out and do it. And Lord, sometimes what you want us to accomplish is a fearful thing. But God, we can trust you. And so, Lord, I pray you would do those things. And Father, solidify things in our heart tonight individually with decisions that we should be making as individual believers, that we might be revived, that our spirit might be where you want it to be, that we might be walking in the Spirit, not quenching you, not grieving you in any way. Lord, help me to speak your word the way you want it spoken. And Father, I pray that we'd have those hearing ears. And Lord, we ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Let's pick up the reading, if you would, in Exodus chapter number 3. And in verse number 4, it says, And when the Lord saw that he, Moses, turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. And boy, that's the proper thing, is it not? That when God speaks, we say, Here am I. And he said, God said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And when the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. And I like the four I's there in verse 6, 7, and 8, when God says, I am the God of thy fathers. He said, I have seen the affliction of my people. He said, I know their sorrows. And he says, I am come down to deliver them. I believe that God still sees today, don't you? I believe God looks down from heaven and God sees Custer, South Dakota, and God sees the homes, God sees the needs. I think as we visited people today, I think of the people with sickness and the cancers, and I think of some of the kids and their homes, and I think of the schools. I think of you expand outside of Custer and you look at other towns. God sees those towns. He sees when there's no church there, but he sees people that need Jesus Christ. He sees your life. He sees your struggles. He sees your children and your heartaches and your jobs. And he sees the economy and he sees the whole world. And God is still working. And sometimes we just, sometimes I think as believers, we just kind of like, well, we're just hanging into the end. But God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to be anticipating him to still use us. And how he might use you, I don't know. It might be because he says, give that person a gospel tract. And you give them the gospel tract, and they read it. Or it might be, write a gospel tract, amen? I love that tract, Brother Jeff. And you know, God says, do this, and sometimes we hesitate. But that's okay, we're in the same company as Moses, amen? Because he hesitated too. But don't lose sight of that God still sees. God still knows. And sometimes God closes this door, but he opens this door because he's a wonderful God. In verse number 9, he says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. And he says, I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And that's the fifth eye. I like that one. Because sometimes we think that God misses the wickedness of other people. But he doesn't. God says, I see the oppression that they have done. And those people that live wickedly and hate God and want to destroy Christianity and hurt the next generation and mock the name of God, don't worry, God sees it. And then in verse number 10, he says, come now, therefore, and this is the hard eye. We liked all the other ones, didn't we? Amen? Did we like the fact that God says, I'm God? I've seen the affliction. I know the sorrows. I'm come down to deliver them. I've seen those wicked people. That's all good preaching right there, amen? But now we come to verse number 10. And God says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. That's where the problem hits, isn't it? Because up to this point, it's all good. God's doing. God's, man, God is great. And God says, isn't this awesome? I mean, it's incredible. And now God says, and you're the one I'm going to use to fix this problem. You're the one I'm going to use to reach that person. You're the one I'm going to use to help that individual that needs help. And that's when the fear comes in. Amen? Oh, I've been there in my own life. I've been there when I've been praying and praying about someone's need or praying about something. And I'm saying, boy, glad. I'm so glad God is going to do something. And God says, yes, come now. Let's go do this. You know? And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, God, I think you could do this better by yourself. Amen? Because surely, who am I? And isn't that what Moses said in verse number 11? And Moses said unto God, who am I? That I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And notice verse 12. God quickly answers it and says, certainly, I will be with thee. And so the first thing tonight, I want to deal with the fact of the fear that comes from our flesh. The fear that says, who am I? Because you know what? When God wants us to do something, you know, if I ask Pastor Matt today, Pastor Matt, do you remember when God wanted you to preach? Do you think that at that point, how many of you think Pastor Matt, when God said that day, Pastor Matt said, oh yeah, that's right. I've been waiting for you to notice me so I could go preach. I guarantee it wasn't that way. You understand what I'm saying? When God picks people, amen? When he picks you to teach a class, I don't think most people say, oh yeah, I've just been waiting for God to notice my great abilities. Because God didn't pick people like that. Do you remember when God asked you to sing in church? Lead music. How many of you love Brother Dave? Amen? And God said, I want you to lead the church music. You said, oh yeah, I've just been waiting. No, I'm telling you, you got sick the next week, amen? Now, we got young people tonight, and God's going to ask them to do some things. I was laughing today because, I hope it's okay to say this, but Caleb's going to get to speak when he gets over in Belarus. Pastor was saying that they asked him to speak, and I thought, I'm sure Caleb's not saying, oh yeah, just I had a message ready to preach. Now, Caleb, if you get this, amen. But do you understand what I'm saying tonight? That gets all of us, doesn't it? God says, I have something for you to do. And it's funny, you were praying about it, you know? You were burdened about it. You saw the need. I think about your church and you and what God has used, the Anchor Club and your Vacation Bible School. And, you know, we remember the days back in the old building when you said, God said, build a new building. Oh, everybody was just like, uh-huh. Oh, you wanted it, but it was like, wow, this is a big, and look what God has done. You understand what I'm saying? And we could go on and on with this, but we have the fears that come from our flesh. But I want to say tonight that our flesh can be crucified. Those fears can be put down, and we can trust God. I'm going to read these verses to you. If you want to write them down, that's fine. You won't be able to turn to them quick enough because I just want to read them so we can see them all through the scriptures about what God says. In Numbers chapter number 11, verse 23, the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. I like what God said. Is my hand waxed short? Can I do this? I like what Jonathan said in 1 Samuel 14. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint for the Lord to save by many or by few. Who am I? Well, it's not really who we are. It's who is the God that we're following. I like what Job said. He said, I know that thou canst do everything. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? I know you can do it, God. And so if God says, go, and he's with us, problem solved. I like in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 19, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Because Jesus had just told them about the rich man. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now that's not a blanket, okay? That doesn't mean that we can go jump off of a big cliff and say, huh, well, God's big enough to catch me. No, that's called being stupid. Because God didn't tell you to jump off the cliff, all right? Now if God told you to jump off the cliff, then he's big enough to catch you, all right? Because there are those that misuse the scriptures and say, well, you know, God's big enough to do anything, so, you know, I can just go borrow $1 million and God will pay it back. No, you'll have to pay it back because God didn't tell you to do it, right? But you put the scriptures in context. When God leads you to do something through his scriptures and through his word, we shouldn't have those fears. Luke repeated it. He said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Ephesians chapter 3 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then it says, according to the power that worketh in us. I like that verse in Ephesians because when we talk about God doing everything, it's amazing how God chooses to do it in us. God has always used people. Isn't that right? Always. You know, it's amazing what God could do with his power, but God chooses to use his power through people. And that's what Paul understood when in Philippians he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And tonight I want us to say that we can be like Moses. And God says, I've seen the problem. I've come to fix the problem. Here's how we're going to fix the problem. Come. Let's go. And the fears come up. Not that we doubt God. Seriously, I don't think people say, I don't think God can do this. They say, who am I? I don't think you're saying the problem is God. I think you're saying the problem is God chose me. And I know me. Amen. I know me, and I know my weaknesses, I know my frailties, I know my tendencies to sin, I know the problems that I have, and God, you just don't know what you've done when you chose me. I know, God, you don't make mistakes, but this time you did. You chose me. But God says in verse 12, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that when I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And of course, God continued to talk to Moses. I'm not going to read through all of these verses at this time, but God began to tell who he was, the great I am. And we get to the end of the conversation in chapter number 4. Because after God has continued strengthening Moses with his words that I will be with you, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and you can read that through all those verses. In chapter 4 and verse number 1, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. So his first reasoning was, who am I? And he had a fear about the fact of God choosing him. He didn't fear what God could do. He just feared that, Lord, who am I? If you put all that power in me, how am I going to be able to still do it? Because I'm just nothing. But his second fear was based upon the others. And you see the fear there in verse number 1. His fear was is that they will not believe. It's a fear of our friends. It's a fear of our family. It's a fear of others that they will not believe or hearken unto our voice. And in verse number 2, the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And this is God answering that fear. When we begin to fear that people won't believe that God has spoken to us, okay? When God speaks to you in your heart through his word, you've got counsel, you understand God wants you to do something, and you say, okay, God, I know you want me to be involved in this ministry, but those kids are not going to listen to me. Those people aren't going to follow me. That person's not going to take the gospel track. That person isn't going to listen when I tell them how to be saved. And we come up with all these other excuses. Here's how God answers this excuse. He says to Moses, what is in your hand? Moses says, a rod. God says in verse number 3, cast it on the ground. Now, here's the amazing thing. He did. Now, that tells us something about Moses. What does that tell us about Moses? He's obedient, right? You know, I think tonight, if we were to look around this room, I would say overall, this is a group of people that want to obey God. I believe that. I don't think you'd be here tonight if that wasn't true, all right? But it doesn't mean we always obey God, okay? It doesn't mean we always do what he says. But when God tells us to do something that we can do, we do what? We do it, right? I won't break the microphone. But he says what? What's in your hand? A rod. And what does God say? Cast it on the ground. Is that hard to do? No. That's so easy to do, isn't it? And so what does Moses do? He throws it on the ground. Now, God's a great teacher. You know the story, but let's just read it. It says in verse 3 that he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Yeah, I think I'd run too. You know, snakes and I aren't the best of friends. We always like it if we can kill one or two when we're in Africa. I like it when someone else kills them, you know. I had a funny story about one this last year. It was a little one, and they saw the little one. Then a few days later, they saw the big one. My daughter Abigail was pulling weeds, and it was right there by the weeds. And that snake was right there, and, you know, they killed it and all that stuff. And then the guys are running around. The guys from our institute are running around with that snake after they burned it. And they're like, look what we killed, look what we killed. And they're telling me all about it, and then I find out later, they didn't kill it, the girls killed it, you know? But Moses fled from before it, and he ran away. But now look at verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now, does that make any sense? How many of you ever played with snakes before? Do you catch a snake by the tail? Only if you want what? To get bit, right? Because you grab the snake by the tail, you're in trouble, right? And God says, take it by the tail. But hold on a second. Look at what the verse says. And he put forth his hand and caught it. What does that tell us about Moses? He's obedient. Wait. Even when it doesn't make sense. Now, here's what I'm trying to say tonight. When God tells you to do something, you've been praying about it, you've been asking God about it, maybe in the preaching of a revival or preaching on Sundays as your pastor teaches you, maybe God says in your heart, he confirms something, he says, this is what you need to do. And those fears come up. Who am I? And then we start thinking about what others. Here's what we need to do. We need to back up and remember all the other times that God told us to do something that didn't make sense and we did it. Amen? Because let me tell you the type of people that God chooses to do things. Obedient people. If you're working with people and you need something done, do you ask someone to do it that's going to do it or the person that's not going to do it? Yeah, you ask. Even in your kids, you know your kids like certain jobs, and if you really want something done, you ask that child to do it because you know what? They're going to do it, right? If you don't ask the person that's not going to do it. So when God starts saying, I want you to do something, why is he doing that? Because he's been seeing us what? Be obedient in our life. And you know what? Getting saved didn't make sense, did it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You mean if I believe and I ask that God takes all my sin away, past, present, future, does that make sense? But how many of you did that and got saved? You took the snake by the tail. Why? Because God said so. And then you went and got baptized. Now, can I ask you a question? Does baptism make any sense? Bear with me. Does it? Does it really make any sense? Now, we've made it all nice, and, you know, we got a little tub and all that nice stuff. And do you heat the water here? Okay. So we make it pretty nice. But even in all of the niceties, it still doesn't make any sense, does it? But why do we get baptized? Because God said so. Now, you could go where I'm going to be later this year. They still baptize in the river. I was preaching at a revival meeting. We're done at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. There's this lady says, I need to get baptized. And the pastor says, okay, well, Sunday, she said, I got to get baptized. They baptize in the river. They don't have a baptistry in their church. So it's September, October. We're going down the river. I'm so glad I was the evangelist, not the pastor. Amen. I just stood on the shore and prayed. He went out in the water with her. It was cold. That doesn't make sense. Are you with me? How many of you have ever obeyed God in things that didn't make sense? Okay, let me ask you another one. Do we believe in giving offerings and tithes? Yeah, does that make sense? No. It makes no sense that I should give and I'll have more after I give than what I had before. Go ask any of those kids about that. Go get 5 candy bars and say, listen, give me one of those candy bars and you'll have more left over than what you did when you gave me. They're going to look at you and say, what? You're crazy. But as you grew in your Christian life, you learn to give, don't you? And it works. Makes sense to us now. I'm just saying we can go around this room tonight, and anybody that is an obedient Christian in this room tonight has taken snakes by the tail, not real ones. But God has told you to do things that don't make sense, but you did it, didn't you? And guess what? The snake became a rod. Now, I love the story later on when they threw that rod down there with Pharaoh's magicians, and they said, watch us. And they threw theirs down, and Moses' snake just ate theirs. Bloop, 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 bloop. He picked it up, and they didn't have no sticks no more. I just love that story of the Bible. I'm just like, God's got such a great sense of humor, you know? I wonder if that stick was bigger after that, you know? I just don't know. But I just think about the lesson there. But God's not done yet. Because in verse 5, he says that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore. In other words, God's not done here. He's still teaching Moses. He said furthermore, put now thine hand in thy bosom. Now just think about this for a second. Okay, and you just threw a stick on the ground. It became a snake, right? Now God says, put your hand in your pocket. What do you think you're going to find in your pocket? A spider. I mean, come on. You think about that. You're like, but what did Moses do? He did exactly what God said. He didn't say why. He didn't say how come. He just took his hand and he what? The Bible says he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, it was leprous as snow. And God said, verse 7, put thine hand in thy bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom. I like how that's worded there. He's like, what's going to happen now, you know? What color will it be next? And it came out, and it was turned again as his other flesh. What's God doing? He's just teaching Moses the same truth again. Moses, just trust me. I like this one. The way I like to look at this one is, God says, put your hand in there and pull it out. You'll see something you never saw before. I like that. Now, how many of you have ever seen God do something you never saw before? Simply because you did what? You obeyed him, right? He told you to do it, and you did it. You know, you invited someone to church and they got saved. You say, well, I never saw that before. Amen, it works. Because God, you went by and you gave somebody a track and they responded. Why? Because you know what I'm saying? We can all go around this room tonight, and if we would think back in our life, we remember the times when God told us to do something, we did it, and we got with our other friends and said, you can't believe, God told me to do this, and look what God did. We all have those stories, don't we? And then you put it back in and he did it again. What's God saying? Read the next verse. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken to thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now think about this one for just a moment. This one I believe is so important. Because God said, throw your stick on the ground. Snake, pick it up, stick again. Put your hand in, white like leprous. Put it back in, back to normal. God said, if they don't believe the first one, they'll believe the second one. If they don't believe the second one, then go to the river and get some water and pour it out and it would become blood. Now here's the lesson. Moses didn't get to do a trial run. God didn't say, here's some water. Watch this. This is how it works, Moses. He said, Moses, you go before those people. You do the first one. You know how that works, okay? You do the second one, Moses. I showed you how that one works. But number three is going to be by faith, Moses. Because obedience to God is always going to have to be by faith. That's the lesson we have to learn. We can ask God for signs and we can ask God to show us, and God is a wonderful God and God shows us and God teaches us, but ultimately we come to the place in our life where we say, okay, God, you told me to do this, and by faith I'm going to do it. Because whatsoever is not of faith is what? Is sin. And in our life, God is wonderful to show us and show us and show us, but God is never going to let you be comfortable. God is never going to let you just say, well, I've done this 100 times. God is always wanting you to take more steps. Do you see what I'm saying? And so we know the story. Moses does. It's a wonderful thing. But look at verse number 10. Because after Moses is dealing with the fears here of his friends and families, the fears that they won't believe, the fears that they won't hear me, Moses said unto the Lord in verse 10, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. What's Moses doing now? He's just making excuses. Lord, I can't talk right. You haven't talked to me like this before, and I'm just slow of speech. And look, God gets very straight here in verse 11. The Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now look at verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. But boy, Moses is still overwhelmed with this great fear. And Moses says in verse 13, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And here's the problem. At this point, Moses says, no, Lord. He's not saying I can't do it. He's now saying what? I won't do it. Send somebody else. I agree it needs to be done. I believe that you can do it, God. I believe that you want it done, God. But send somebody else. Friends, you don't want to reach that point. Because look at verse 14. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Up to this point, God was patient. God was gracious. God was saying, no, you can do this. But at this point, even though Moses had an obedient heart, he reached something that he did not want to do. We're going to know why. Because look down just a little bit later in the chapter, verse number 19. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt. Notice this. For all the men that are dead which sought thy life. I think that reveals where Moses' problem was. I think Moses in his mind is going back to thinking, Lord, if I obey you, I could die. Lord, if I go back to Egypt, you remember I'm a wanted man? You remember, Lord, if I go back there, they want to kill me? And Moses is still struggling because now he's, you know, God's sent him Aaron. And Moses is kind of planning to go back and let Aaron do it. And God says, Moses, the people that sought your life are all dead. And I think this is when Moses makes a change. And I think Moses' greatest fear was losing his life. And I want to tell you and I tonight in my heart, the greatest fear that we face is in our life is the fear that we're going to lose this life. The fear that somehow we're going to lose this stuff, which we can't take anyhow. You won't take your body. It's going to die someday. You won't take your house, you won't take your cars, you won't take your sports, you won't take your money, you won't take your job, you won't take your career. And if your family doesn't get saved, you won't even take them. But we hang on to all of it. And God said to Moses, your life is going to be okay. And I think if you and I tonight can reach that point in our life where we realize it's going to be okay. When I go down to the end of chapter number 4, verse number 29, it says, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And look at verse number 31. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. I want to say tonight, we need not to fear anything but God. I want to read some more verses. Once again, I'll ask you not to turn to him unless you want to quickly. But just listen to how many times God says this. Genesis 15, verse 1. These things the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I like what God said to him. In Genesis 21, God heard the voice of the lad. The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Deuteronomy chapter number 20, verses 3 and 4. And thou shalt say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. And do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Deuteronomy 31, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua chapter 8, the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. That was after they had a failure, and God reminded them, fear not. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve God with all your heart. These people had lived so wickedly, and God says, fear not. Come back. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Remember the widow and the child, they were going to die, and Elijah said, fear not. In 2 Kings 6, he answered and said, fear not. This is Elisha to his servant. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, God says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. That's what God said to Jehoshaphat after much time in prayer. Isaiah said in chapter 35, verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Remember when God came to Joseph and revealed that he was going to take a woman who had a child that was birthed in here by God? Remember what God said in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Remember what the angel said to the women? And the angel answered in Matthew 28 and said, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified, and he was alive. Jesus said to Jairus, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. The book of Revelation begins in chapter 1 with John falling down and God saying to John, fear not. I am the first and the last. My message is simple tonight. I believe God speaks to his people through his word and through preaching. I believe if you came Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, if you came one night, three nights, whatever night you could come, I believe if you've been in your Bible this week and you've read your Bible and you've prayed, I believe if you're a person who has a heart that says, I want to obey God, that God has something else for you to do. That God speaks to us. All I'm saying tonight is, fear not. Fear not, because you can look back in your life and look at all the other times you obeyed God, and guess what? It worked. And you can look at some crazy things you did, and everybody thought you'd lost your head. I'll guarantee you, the fact that you come to this church, they think you're crazy. But keep on coming, amen? But what I'm saying, revival is when our spirit gets stirred. And God says, okay, we've been having a nice time here, but now there's another step. And God might say it collectively to you as a church, fear not. God might speak individually, this is your next step, fear not. Go back and write down how God's helped you before. Get with your pastor and say, pastor, I got to pray about this. I think God's wanting this, and I'm scared to death. I'm glad when people are scared to do what God wants, because that tells me it's God doing it. But when somebody comes and says, I got it all figured out, I'm like, oh my, this is going to be a disaster. But when somebody's coming and saying, ah, this is scary, it's like step back and see what God can do. Let's pray together tonight. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I believe that you have great things for these people in this church. And Lord, I don't just say that tonight, God. Lord, you've done great things. Lord, you've saved people. We look around this room tonight. What testimonies of salvation. Lord, lives changed. We look next door and those children. And Lord, what a miracle that even some of them would be here. And God, you're not done. Lord, you want to take this church to another level, to another place of service and ministry. Lord, I don't know what it is, but God, I know you do. And Lord, to do that, it takes people that are obedient. And Lord, if we've struggled with obedience, then we need to confess that. God, we do struggle sometimes. And God, we just need to make it right with you. But God, when you're speaking to us and you're prodding us, Lord, we need to get serious about it. We need to pray about it. We need to seek counsel. And then, Father, we need to take the steps that are next, whatever that might be in our life, that we might see what God can do. And so bless us with that tonight. We ask this in your precious name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just a time of invitation tonight as the piano plays. You just want to come and kneel and pray? Want to sit there in your seat and pray? That doesn't matter to me. It's just as long as you talk to God about it. And you take that time and you settle with him. Maybe you do need to talk to your pastor. Maybe you can't talk to him now, but you could talk to him after church. Say, this week I want to visit with you about something. That's the invitation time. So we'll stand very quietly and our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The piano plays. That's the invitation tonight, as God would lead you.